Hey guys, Scott Johnson here. Settle in because we got a rad show ahead of you. Now, a couple warnings. One, we have a very special guest today. I'll just tell you who it is. It's Hodor. It's Christian Nairn. That's right. Finally, back after all these years. He joins me, Terpster, and Patrick, and it's a fantastic interview. I did want to mention this, though. As you know, Christian is, outside of Game of Thrones, known to be a bit of a cusser. He's from Ireland. He really lets him fly, and it's fantastic. It's a special brand of cussing, and that happens in this episode. So our show is typically kind of F-bomb free. Not today. I just wanted you to be aware of that. So if that's a problem, you know, maybe this one isn't for you. But if that's not a problem, and you're okay listening to a very cool Irish guy drop the F-bomb occasionally, well, then you'll be fine. Anyway, here it is. Our conversation and episode, all about World of Warcraft, with Christian Nairn.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is the instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 512 for January 19th, 2018. I'm Scott Johnson. We are thrilled today to bring a special guest in. Before I do, though, the regulars.
Scott, I wouldn't call me special.
Well,
I'm occasionally here.
Well, you know? Are special, but in a different way.
Yeah. Not the kind of special you want to necessarily advertise, is all I'm saying. Of course, we have Terpster. Terpster, hi.
Hello.
Hi. It's good to have you here, man. How are you? Feeling good?
Yeah, I'm doing well. No, I just wanted to jump in with that grade A joke. You can carry on and actually introduce our special guest.
All right, fine. Also, Patrick, of course. Patrick, hi. Welcome. You're still not a father, but you will be any minute.
Well, yeah, like last week it was already kind of any moment now, and so this week it's even more so. So I might have to pull a Terpster and just leave midway through the show and go like, oh, crap, yeah. Contraction, see you.
Least favorite sex move, pulling a Terpster. I like it. Also with us, and finally, I'm super stoked about this. It's been 3 or 4 years since we last had him on. And when we did, we got all these requests. Oh, you got to have him on more often. This has to happen. And since then, life got real busy for our guest. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the program. A WoW aficionado, an actor, and a good friend of the program, Christian Nairn. Welcome back, man.
Thank you, Matt. I feel like I was waiting behind a curtain there.
Come out.
Hey.
You missed out. Killer DJ, Scott, from his accolades.
Exactly. Oh, speaking of which, like, that's really been your big, you know, public showing lately is your DJ work, and you've been swamped, like traveling all the time. I don't know how you do it. So
I don't know either, man. I think just a lot of Xanax.
Yeah.
It's absolutely nuts. I love it though. I couldn't do it if I didn't love it.
Yeah. No, that's great. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine doing it if you didn't love it, because it just seems so rigorous. Every time I see you post something on Twitter, you're in a different city. You got 2-3 shows, then you're in another city. It seems like it never stops. You were most recently in Iceland for the holidays, and you said at the top there before we started the show that it was terrible. Do you want to explain why it's bad?
That wasn't a work trip though. That was just a holiday.
Yeah.
I think I picked the worst week of the year to go to Iceland. The first week in January, ice storms, snow storms, fucking shit storms, all sorts of storms.
Wow. Were you out there with friends?
I was with my other half, and we basically sat in the hotel room and stared at each other and watched Netflix.
Well, that's it. Do they expect you from your Game of Thrones days to be adept at cold weather, you know, because of all the Frozen North acting and stuff?
Well, you know, I am in Belfast. It's not exactly Benidorm, you know. it is pretty cold and dank here.
Yeah.
But, I've got thick skin, man. I've got the height of a rhino.
Yeah.
I can handle it.
You're like Nord.
Well, listen, you got the most intense experience out of Iceland. You don't want to go there when it's, like, sunny and shiny and all nice. Now you actually know what Iceland is like.
Yeah.
Iceland's meant to be the green one, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't Greenland?
Yeah. When I was a kid, they always told me in school that it was a big trick, that Iceland was green and Greenland was icy, and that was the way the Vikings screwed people up when they were trying to find stuff. But I now that I've, I don't know, I've gotten older and I'm getting conflicting information, it sounds like everything's cold up there and you may as well just forget it. It's all bad.
No, don't get me wrong. Don't scratch Iceland off your list of travels. It's really cool and it's beautiful. And I'm trying to redeem myself here to the Icelandic people.
Did you meet up with Hathor, the mountain?
No.
So this is just all of my Game of Thrones dreams now, where you're just hanging out.
There's not a tall actors club.
No, there should be.
There should be, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a member of the Tall Actors Guild. Nice to meet you.
I love this idea. Well, it's been too long. Last time we spoke, you were still regularly on the weekly in the role of Hodor. A lot of that has changed, obviously. There's been a fantastic... Well, you know, listen, two-week rule. I think the spoilers are up. But there was also this moment where Terpster found you at a movie event and did a little joke, and that shot to the top of all trending YouTube videos for a good hot minute. And
we knew from the moment, obviously, it was a very well-crafted piece of viral video. Just more so just to prove I still got it. Got one of those.
What got me about that, though? I got loads of people asking me, like, were you genuinely angry? And I was like, dude, it was set up.
Yeah. I was like, you know, I was just saying, like, well, listen, he is an actor.
That's the acting. So that's what he does. He acts. That's how good it is.
Yeah.
I was genuinely angry.
The whole time, we had all these people trying to get selfies with Christian, like, the whole time. Yeah. And it was one of the hardest things to shoot. And I was like, I've been like tweeting you throughout the week, being like, oh, cool. Yeah. We got to try and do something. I got a cool idea. And it worked out that we were both going to this Warcraft premiere.
Yeah.
So we were there. Isaac was there, who plays Bran on the show as well. And so obviously down like three flights of stairs after this film with Hodor and Bran. And it's like, you might as well have just been wearing no clothes, because just everyone was looking. Everyone was like, oh my God. And then everyone wants a picture. It is like when I go out without any clothes on. Just everyone's coming over asking for, can I have a picture with it? Yeah, go on then. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But it was good fun. Yeah. It was nice to do. Obviously, yeah. I got in there first. Yeah. It was all about being first.
Sure.
Because a lot of people, and I'm sure like you get it a lot though now, do you?
I have a really good resting bitch face. So, I tend to sort of warn people off with that. It doesn't happen too often. At the time, it did happen, but it's kind of died off now.
Yeah, a good resting bitch face is actually super helpful, I found, in life.
It can be. Yeah. I spent 42 years now crafting.
Yeah, so you've done a good job. I think it's a solid resting bitch face, and it makes for good DJ. It's a good look for a DJ who's up there being serious and flipping the tracks or whatever.
That's how they say it now.
No, it's my don't ask me for fucking Britney Spears face.
Yeah. I think it's like For Love or something like that. One of your tracks, like the single cover on Spotify, you just look super pissed off every time. And so I was like, it'll come up on shuffle every now and then. I'll be like, oh, yep, there he is.
Yeah,
okay.
Yep.
I shouldn't have. I'm sorry. I didn't know it was going to blow up. Okay.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. Well, look, I suffer from it as well. I completely understand. So back then, all the way back in the WoW movie days, you were well into the DJ gig and all that stuff was going on. And I feel like the last time we talked, that stuff was really just starting to ramp up and you were in full swing then. How much time have you had for the Legion expansion? Have you been able to play and get in there, or has your schedule kind of hampered that?
It really has hampered it, but I still have a totes late shaman and hunter. I make time, dude. I just can't not play it. Mm. So I bring my laptop with me. I've got my little orb weaver, my mouse to bring everywhere with me. You know,
people imagine you working on a track or something there. You're just in the corner, just busy working away on a laptop. Yeah. They're like, I bet he's got some sweet loops going there. That's going to be, can I listen? You're like, well, it's WoW. You can't listen to it, really.
Yeah. But it ain't music.
It's always a lot of questions in TSA and security. It's like, what the hell are these things in your bag? why is there an orb weaver in your bag?
Yeah.
But yeah, I still play. I've still got two pretty well-geared characters, but I think now I'm gonna play through the new revamped world as a warrior because I never have.
Mm. You've never done a warrior before. I haven't either, actually. No. That's the one character I've never, or the one class I've
never done a warrior. No. It's great because it's literally part you were born to play. Mm. Play a human male warrior, Scott, and you can role play as you.
Yeah.
And you can just go about it's with no magical abilities at all. It's great.
Sir, it's just you play a warrior, so we're like, all right, he's got it covered. We shouldn't like hamper on his territory.
It would make me quite intimidated.
So you're
warriors. I think technically, though, fury warriors, they can hold two-handed swords in one hand and two of them. Mm. So they're probably the strongest people in the world. Yeah. So there you go.
So you're probably
there's some grounds to disagree with that, but yeah, I'll let you have that.
Sure, you can have that one. But do you feel like this, the new scaling zones and stuff, is that part of your motivation? You're thinking, well, now I've really got a reason to go back and level a lobby and work through these zones at kind of the pace I want and the areas I want and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of my biggest gripes about it. You never got to finish the quest lines. You're always moving on to keep up with your current level. Mm-hmm. It just didn't seem to scale very well, but I don't know how it's going to be. And also with the new vanilla coming out, I wonder how it's going to sit with that. I really don't know, so I want to try it, see what it's like.
Yeah, are you actually, that's a good question about classic servers, or I guess they're calling it WoW Classic or whatever, but do you, when that announcement happened, and I'm sure you followed a little bit of the controversy around people trying to set up their own servers and all of that, did you immediately go, oh yeah, sweet, can't wait to roll a new character like it's 2004, or is that, I'm kind of torn. Like, I feel like part of me wants to check it, but part of me thinks I'll only check it for 10 minutes and get out.
No, I'm definitely torn because I remember, I'm old enough to remember that I was level 57 with no quests. And I used to put my hunter friend on follow in Dustwallow Marsh while he skinned raptors. Just to
try and get the, bar of XP. I've been there. Yeah.
It was, I was in a huge guild and there was one level 60 in it. One. And I remember this bullshit. And I'm not sure if people are going to like it or not. Because everything's handed to you on a platter now. Yeah. It's like, oh my god, I've got four legendaries in my bag. Like, what the fuck is that about?
Yeah, no, it's a good point. Like you're going to be put in a place to... have all this nostalgia for those early days, but I think we forgot, man, like, what it cost
to
get... And
also, like, Christian, at the time, you weren't traveling the world as a DJ, you know? You had a lot more time on your hands, I'm sure.
How do you think that?
Those days.
I might have been busy.
I don't know. Maybe. Were you busy?
I mean, let's be honest. In 2004, none of us sitting
none
here
of us
now
were busy.
Were busy.
I mean, if you're busy now because of the World of Warcraft, you weren't busy then. That's a fact.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah. But that's an interesting point that maybe we can talk about for a second. This idea that Blizzard, you know, in some ways, I feel like they're making these classic servers just so we can go in and go, oh, yeah, that's right. I don't like this. And
well, what everyone's been saying. I think there's a lot of people who think they would like to go back to that and that won't be having fun. Some of them might, but it's a minority. I think the even more interesting population is all the people that started playing since, 2008, 2009. Are going to go, oh, I'm going to try and see what that was about. And those are the ones that are going to be like, holy crap, you guys play this for like 2 years? Like, seriously?
Yeah.
RuneScape Classic has done amazingly well. It's more popular than RuneScape, the new version. Yeah, so
how many players?
Oh, like, hundreds of thousands, which relative to the product, I think is, I think it's doing really well. Mm. Like, it's still... the Guinness World Record holder for most updated game ever. Mm. They've churned out content over decades. But it's just, there is a market out there for people who want to play old ropey MMOs because that's what they loved. Or that's what they think. It could even be like, to be honest with you, like a 16-year-old when this comes out, they got all the time in the world. Well, I did. I just think it's that there might be a new generation that falls in love with Warcraft because they don't have the current easy mode Warcraft that we've come to love. Who knows?
Well, either way, Blizzard benefits, right? Because they either what happens is we hop in and go, oh no, I really prefer the things they've done since, and I really like where they've evolved, and I'm getting out. But then there's those who like, oh no, this is my jam, this was always my jam, and this is where I belong. Well, Blizzard wins either way. They get a sub, you know, like.
But do we really need another timeline, though? I know it's not connected to the game, but around the events of Warlords of Draenor, I'm a real lore geek, and these shitheads escaping and going back in time and changing shit. I mean, it's turned into an episode of fucking Dynasty or Dallas.
Yeah. That would be good, though, if
they wake
if
up Thrall and it was all
came out of the shower, wasn't it? And Garrosh is in bed. Oh, what happened? Oh, don't worry, brother. Yeah. It's okay.
I agree, but we don't know yet if they're going to try to, like, you know, will there be an Encourage event? Will there be? Will any of that stuff happen in any sort of timeline, or will it just all, you know, be there up to one point, whatever? And I don't know.
I don't think it has to be any kind of. It's like a old what happened then. It's not like a different timeline or anything. I don't think they're going to go that far.
Well, that's probably good.
There will be a public for it.
Yeah, so where are we at the minute then? So there's Illidan Stormmage. He's gone off to, no spoiler alert, actually I'm not going to say it. I mean, just killed Gul'dan, or is it alternative version of Gul'dan again?
It's the alternative version of Gul'dan.
Both are now
back
dead.
To our reality, who's dead anyway. Yeah. So both Gul'dans are dead.
Right.
Well, bored.
So at the beginning of the beginning of BC, whose skull is he holding then? That's Gul'dan's. But
exactly.
That's it's old original. Main universe Gul'dan, okay. Not alternate universe Gul'dan.
All right.
They retconned main universe Gul'dan to have the same backstory now as alternate universe Gul'dan was given during Warlords of Draenor. Yeah. It gets weird.
It's not totally straightforward. I know that because I'm quite good with lore, and I got lost somewhere along the line, and I just thought, "Fuck it." I'm not gonna spend any time worrying about this.
Easy. It's easy to do that with the way. I'm kind of with you. It's all a little bit weird. I try to sort of ignore the things that happen in Warlords as best I can. So that I can sort of, you know, Legion has more of a focus and I can just think of whatever.
I struggle, though, because we've got someone who is famous for playing a character that was stuck in what they call closed time loop, time travel type thing, or very, very much intrinsic to that character. It's almost how that whole character was formed was through time travel. Who has a problem with time travel? I think, you know, you gotta accept that it gave you a fantastic opportunity, time travel. And I think that in the past, you're going to look back on this and appreciate time travel
is great. I'm perfectly fine. I don't like Doctor Who, but I have no problem with time travel. I will say I do hate going through the wrong fucking Dalaran portal. And
oh, no, that's the best thing. You only want to play a mage. Throw up a few.
Yeah, no.
I will say it is a little bit complicated to wrap your head around, but the podcast thing they did before the launch of Legion, where the old new Gul'dan keeps being compared to the old Gul'dan by Sargeras or the spirits of Sargeras, was just put it in perspective for me at least, and I thought it was really brilliant and kind of made me accept all of it. It was really good. If you haven't listened to it, both Christian and the listeners, just go back. It's still available, I'm sure. The what was it called?
The Tomb of
Sargeras. Right. And it's actually on Spotify and iTunes, and like it's just out there.
And it raises the point, though. Should these things be in the game? Like, should that be just audio
just that,
in the game?
Yeah.
Surely you shouldn't have to listen to a lecture by a university fucking lecture in Warcraft lore.
It isn't, though. It's like a short novel type thing.
It's a radio play.
It's a radio play.
That's a very good point. It's augmented content for those who want to know more. But in this case, I think I kind of agree with Christian. I would have preferred some of that to be conveyed in the game a little more obviously, because if you didn't hear that stuff, things just seemed really confusing. It's like Gul'dan alone is just like, what the hell is this guy? Plus, you have movie Gul'dan, and people who are maybe fresh to the game are like, well, what's the difference there? Why is he Why is he, tougher and more like he can fight like a ninja? And in this game, he looks like this shriveled up old man. Like there's some stuff there they can do.
Until phase three, then whoa, he hulks out. It's good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
I don't want to sound completely negative about it because it's still, I'm still 100% behind it. And I absolutely love it. But I'm just talking about the lore. That's all.
Yeah.
So what did you think of Legion as a whole? Like, we're reaching the end now of the cycle. And
I mean, I think one of the best things Blizzard have done in this expansion is, unlike the previous ones, I mean, they learned from Wrath of the Lich King, I think. You really feel part of the storyline. You really feel like you're affecting things. You get to feel part of how the game develops as you get higher level. You actually feel important. Mm. And I think that's good.
It is a little more meaningful this time, right? Like there's always been that feeling of progression or always been a little bit of like, well, you're in this world and well done, heroes. You've saved us and killed the Lich King or whatever. But this time, I agree with you. It felt like we were, I don't know, felt like we were all up in it all the time.
Well, we were also, we're the class leads, you know, the Order Hall champions.
Yeah, the guild halls. You know. Not the guild halls. The class halls helped a lot.
I think. That's true.
And how they sort of cleared out a lot of the old characters, a lot of the old OP characters like Tyrion Fordring and stuff. That was, I cried. I actually cried tears of blood when he asked my favorite character in the game. I was like, you're not going to kill him. And they did.
Yeah. See, listen.
It's funny how they pulled their punches, though, because obviously for Thrall, they could have done the same thing. Mm-hmm. But for him, he kind of, you know, feels like, oh, ever since I killed Garrosh, I've not been as good a shaman. So you have the Doom Hammer. I'm going to go just disappear and you won't hear from me for ages. Mm-hmm. With Tyrion, they were just like, yeah, no, we're going to fry him. We're going to use him. And I feel like there's always been a lot of Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire style references back from Warcraft 3 onwards, really.
Sure.
But this felt very George R. R. Martin, you know, to have this hero champion. This is the guy who saved us all and killed the Lich King, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, it was some deus machina out the ass as well that he like, he thought at the end, oh yeah, by the way, Light, now, could you help me now, Light? Can we do it now? Yeah. And then we killed him,
rather than
just at the beginning.
Terpster, if we could only have a guest on the show who could relate to the idea of a character, a beloved character, being sort of unceremoniously removed from a product. Yeah.
But again, and how that affects the viewers and the players and people who love those characters. It's so refreshing and horrid at the same time that these things affect us so much.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Tyrion dying and when he screams, like, holy crap. Like, it's horrible.
I
actually felt it. And also, like, when I hope everyone's seen this, it's a few patches ago, but the Naru tries to cleanse Illidan.
Yeah.
And he's almost forcing himself on him. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm going to fucking cleanse you, whether you like it or not. And he kills him. And like that was a big moment as well. It was kind of like, what the fuck?
I think that was actually an incredibly brilliant play on Blizzard's part. Because they were, like, going in, we all knew what was going to happen. Like, we were certain because of the book and the thing and the natural like redemption lines of all characters in the story. We knew that he was going to become a champion of the light. Like it was a foregone conclusion. And the fact that he just says like, you know,
I have my scars.
Yeah. I oh my God, that line. Yeah. I have my scars.
No, it's it was the most coolest moment in 2017. WoW. Like, that's it.
Maybe even real life.
One of my favorite moments in WoW, period.
Yeah, I think exactly. I think in terms of the amount of emotion in the cutscenes we love, obviously, you know, what that team does with Warcraft shows that actually it isn't about the numbers on the stick that dropped off of that thing I killed.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the characters. It's a little bit about the numbers, but at the same time, if it was just, you know, all of the big placeholder white and blue cubes, just giant Rubik's cubes everywhere, and I was, you know, pressing my num keys until the blue cube disappeared, it's not the same. It's these cool visual characters, but then they've got such depth and you understand their motivations, and you know they've done so well with the writing. I think Afrazi Arbi's kind of tenure now since Metzen stepped away and kind of taken us towards the Void Lords and exploring these new spaces there, I just think they've blown it out of the park. Even now, the Whispers of Ilganoth, which was one of the first things we chatted about when we started doing the lore specials.
Yeah.
We still don't know all of those answers, and all of those lines could mean like three or four different things. It's just such a fantastic riddle and prophecy. And even then, like, prophecy, is that something that happens because someone told it, or because it was going to happen? Or, you know, it's all of these things. It just keeps you guessing.
Yeah.
It keeps it interesting. And Warcraft, and that keeps us playing and subscribing. It's a great way of doing it. I don't feel bad about, you know, it taking time.
Yeah. Well, look at even that. I think it was right back in this King, where is it I can never say this guy's name. Verathramas. He gets that whisper. You get that whisper from Sargeras, and it also ties back into what's happening now.
Yeah.
And it's so long ago. That's very George R. R. Martin as well. Yeah. The long setup.
Yeah. For sure.
I absolutely love that, man.
Yeah, I do too. They're they're always laying track for, you know, future stuff that we don't know about yet or whatever. And some of that can be just cool. It's cool. So put this in the game. We don't know what it means yet, but it's cool. And then they can build stuff around that. I think that's a cool thing to do. Like, I don't even mind that.
There's a lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
But also what I really appreciate is that, you know, there's a lot of temptation to keep things the way they are forever, and to keep the characters that you have built up and that people are attached to, and to keep them forever, you know, like preserved, like
Mickey Mouse
form. Yeah, basically. But
Disney ain't gonna kill off Mickey, but that would be a great film.
They do bring back some stuff, but they also aren't shy about not just killing off some characters, but making them change and evolve. And that is really to their credit, because if you listened to what people wanted a few years ago, I think we would have gotten the same thing, you know, the same characters over and over again, and thinking that we can't, you know, evolve towards something different would have been.
I think a really good example of that is probably Jaina Proudmoore, because when I first met Jaina, she was just a character who said, "All I want to do is study magic."
Yeah.
And now she's like a badass.
I kind of love that day.
This is why I don't do voice acting.
Oh, I don't know, man. That was pretty solid. But yeah, look, she's in a really interesting place. Actually, that reminds me, you've always said, and you said the last time you were on the show, and you've said publicly, you're a huge Sylvanas fan. Where are you at with her and her war chieftain and all that?
I nearly threw myself out the window in joy when I saw that new the trailer for the new expansion.
Mm-hmm.
When she
that
was just that's just the Sylvanas I love.
So they released this past week a prelude in-game cinematic for Battle for Azeroth.
Mm. Oh really?
And I haven't seen it. Kind of sets the whole stage, and it's really interesting to see Sylvanas in there. Like,
tell me about it.
Well, okay, if you don't, I don't want to spoil it for you.
I don't care.
Okay, so in essence, basically, it's got all the Horde leaders around a table in Orgrimmar, and Bane is there next to Sarafang, and he's like, you know, giving a toast to all the heroes that fell, but equally, like, guys, we beat the Legion. We got to take some pride in that. Well done.
Yeah, and they're eating steak, by the way, which is disturbing, given that Bane is there
giving
a speech.
No, it's fine. Oh, wow. It's fine. And then Gallywix is all like, he goes over to Sylvanas. He's like, "Hey, War Chief, a moment of your time." And they kind of go off, and then
hold on, take my headphones off.
They have a bit of back and forth between Bane and Sarafang about, you know, "Oh, I can't believe these goblins. You know, oh, they're rats." But he Gallywix then in secret shows Sylvanas his staff, his cane that he walks with, and at the end there's an Azurite orb. And it starts glowing, and she's like, "Oh my god, holy crap, where's this from?" And he's like, "Cynthus, you know, it's, you know, well, I got my guys on it, we're doing it." And so it's basically queuing up the fact that from this
with a massive sword
in this this wound in Azeroth, there is now this Azurite, you know, spilling out across the planet, and the goblins are there, they're mining it. And she's like, "Yeah, we need to seize this opportunity. Like, holy crap, this is powerful. We need this." And it's interesting because she's not, you know, twiddling some sort of, you know, mustache, being like a villain or anything like that. She's genuinely thinking, like, this is power. We need this. And it's kind of like, I guess, like those early days when people discovered, like, oil for the first time, or uranium.
Yeah.
And they're like, whoa, holy, I don't really know what it is other than like, it's really good. We can do stuff with this, I think. And everyone wants it. Mm-hmm. And then they've got a counterpoint one over on the Alliance where Anduin and Gen are being cool and chatting about stuff. And their spies are like, yeah, the Horde's digging up this. And then he's like, he puts it in Anduin's hand. And he's like, what is it? And the guy's like, I don't know. And everyone was like, what? And you just put it in the king's hand. You don't know what it is. Like,
but yeah, they're like, the interesting thing is no one really knows what it is or what it does, but everyone wants it. Like even in the Horde cinematic, I was thinking, oh, they're going to tell us what it is. Well, it's just power. So fine, whatever. It just makes you fight better monsters with bigger numbers.
We as a player know it's Azeroth's blood.
But then
to get that cinematic, you go through this quest and you get given a letter which goes to the war chief.
And then you can go and there's a little bit of a quest line in Silithus. So you can go and actually start playing kind of the prologue of the next expansion, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow. It's super. My God, at last, Silithus is good for something.
Yeah, finally, right?
Yeah.
There's exactly.
You've got to think, like, there is obviously lore reasons why Sargeras plunges his sword in there. Mm-hmm. But then equally, there's gameplay reasons of, well, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
We might as well just,
why not?
Yeah, we could trash that zone. That'd be cool.
Yeah, why not?
I quite enjoyed the bit in Silithus where there's one of those towers, a Night Elf tower, and there's someone, the Eternal Watcher there. And if you go to the new version, she's like a corpse. It's just like her watch has ended.
I love that. It's funny.
We're talking about Silithus. I bet like half the people listening have never even been there. If you didn't start playing before 2008, that you never had any reason to go to Silithus. It's
Guardian of Cenarius title, I guess, would bring some people back.
Yeah,
maybe.
But yeah, like that's true. No, that's true. That would have been. Yeah, I haven't set foot there since then. I mean, I was there, but I haven't been there since. So if you're newish to the game in the last, like you said, 6-7 years, you don't know what that is. So yeah, I like that they're using it.
The Gates of Ankuraj, were they in Silithus? Yes, they were.
Yes, they are.
Did you guys participate in the opening of the Gates of Ankuraj?
I tried.
The slideshow. Yeah, I was part of that. PowerPoint slideshow. That's great.
It was terrible. It was the worst thing ever. In fact, it was one of the first things on the show that got talked about as far as like a major goof on Blizzard's part. It seemed like it was really bad. But I wonder if the classic servers will retain some of the, if they do any of those events. And I don't know.
I think they said they would.
Did they?
But the thing is, it's a question of like whether or not modern infrastructure or if they would put in some form of phasing or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't want to, you know, touch the experience, but maybe.
Do you?
Yeah, but at the same time, if you need the millions of resources, you know, you had to like gather linen and minerals and like the whole server.
I had green cloth for days. Yeah, man, that was bad. That was brilliant.
Yeah. Plus,
Plus
you had inventory where you know I had to share space with arrows and everything else. Then like. We all forget.
And food.
Yeah, and food. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
to feed
your
damn
pet
pets.
Happy. Yeah.
Dude.
People don't know how lucky they are these days, these damn kids.
these kids.
Well, they can go to Silithus and enjoy the Azerite and take it from the goblins.
Yeah. These no arrow having fully satisfied pet loving hunter kids have no idea what's going on.
I always remember one of the first Yogg-Cast videos I ever watched was watching I think it was Lewis playing a hunter, and they were killing Brutalis in Sunwell, he had completely run out of arrows halfway through the fight.
I guess it was poor prepared. You know, it wasn't very well prepared, but those were the things. I remember like raiding Molten Core and people being out of arrows, and then hunters, you know, they'd feign death, drink some, you know, Mountain Dew or whatever it was, Morning Glory Dew. You know, get their mana back up and then start auto-shotting again. It was a different, like, warlocks used to spend like an hour before raids farming soul shards.
Yeah, that's right. No, it was, I mean, there is something to be said for all of that because it was neat and new and different and WoW was doing it better than anybody else, but I still don't. I don't want to go back to that.
Anyway, yeah, I didn't want to launch us back on a
yeah. Well done, Patrick. Well done getting us back to classic service.
Sorry.
Hey, here's the other. Here's the Christian. The Sylvanas question I had. She is. It's been an interesting storyline for her in Legion, and the Alliance really don't like her, and by that I mean the players. Players are pissed. They think she's, you know,
with reason.
With some reason, sure. If you're Gen Greymane, you just as soon smear her all over the world and never see her again. Do you get any predictions about kind of where things end up with her? Do you want, I don't know, anything in particular you want out of her character arc in the next expansion?
I mean, I'm just glad she's being used properly now. She's such an amazing character. I think it's good to have a faction leader or leader of the Horde who is despised by the Alliance. That's good. Yeah. I mean, it's good that we've been working together, like, to fight the Legion and stuff, but yeah, I just think it's more interesting, especially from a PvP point of view, to really fucking hate each other.
how do you feel? Because you've got Sylvanas tattoo. Yes. So what would be the worst thing they could do to Sylvanas as a character, like, that would make you regret having the tattoo? Yeah. Like, would it be, you know, making her really friendly and nice? Would it be making her horrible? Yeah. You know, what would she have to do?
I don't see her that way. I just like her backstory and stuff. I mean, they can't take that away from me. Please don't take that away from me, Blizzard.
They can rip on anything. She was always undead. She was born that way. From a happy undead mom and dad who she loved.
Yeah, they could.
I don't know.
Oh, we're going to have the story with her sister, though. That's going to be interesting shows up and she's like, wait a sec. You're undead? What?
Oh, that's right. Because she's been gone. She was gone for all that. Keep forgetting. That's gonna
Where
be interesting.
Was she?
She was in that thousand year.
She was in a thousand year war. Yeah.
With the
Army of the Lights.
So they, even then, so you've got, you know, they're the ones that got stuck in Outland when the first dark portal got
it
shut.
It was another radio play that you sadly missed out on.
The archers.
It literally. Yeah, they are all archers as well. So that works on many levels.
I knew that. I did that.
So I mean, in one of the books as well. So in War Crimes, Sylvanas kind of makes up with one of her sisters to the point where she was like, "Yeah, we can be together. All we have to do is I'll kill you, and then I'll raise you up again, and then we can be. You know, I'll kill your kids as well, and we can all be undead together." You know, and it's like it's great to see her kind of get to this point now where she's. I think she's got a bit more confidence because at the beginning of Legion, you know, Vol'jin gets some whispers. He thinks it's the lower. I think it might be old gods. But basically, someone suggests that the next war chief should be Sylvanas. And I think it would be lovely if she doesn't become a pawn to the old gods or something like that. And she legitimately is a worthy and valiant leader of the Horde.
Yeah, I think she has. I mean, she's very independent. She's not easily influenced by others. She's fiercely protective of her people. That's always going to come first for her, I think. So I don't think she'll be easily influenced.
Yeah, I think it'd be nice if she. What I'd like is the equal treatment. Like what we're going to end up with Varian or with Anduin is his rise to kingship is super cool too, because it's all about him.
We're being very Horde-centric here.
Yeah. And he's going very boy to man and becoming Manduin, as everyone says. He likes boys to men.
He's a cappella. It's great.
Yeah, he loves it.
I think the path for Anduin is fairly obvious, and no one is really disputing it or, you know, it makes sense. For Sylvanas, there could have been other choices for the Horde to be led by, you know. But for me, as an Alliance character and an Alliance player, I think Sylvanas is probably my favorite choice for a war chief for the Horde. You know, I understand you like the weird characters, but Bane, I don't think would, you know, it doesn't feel right to have kind of, and Sourfang is too old.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Gallywick's obviously not. And then
what you're saying, all these characters are kind of new to the role. Sylvanas has been there
the she's
start.
Been there forever. Yeah.
And the thing is, though, is also the War Chief has changed hands now in the space of we had Thrall, Garrosh, Vol'jin, Sylvanas. The Alliance had Varian. And so, it needs to settle on her. She needs to earn those stripes and wear them for some time. And Yeah, I think they can make that interesting. Yeah. I think that'd be really
cool.
So
what does Thrall do? What do you guys think he does in this expansion? Because we haven't, I mean, there is
nothing.
No reference.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're making orcs stand up right now. Yeah. So orcs won't have hunchbacks necessarily. So right. Thrall is leading the way there.
Yeah, do you hear about this?
Model updates.
Yeah.
You can choose.
Yeah, you choose.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Yeah.
But if you want to visit the chiropractor, you can do that.
And, upgrade orc.
Yeah, exactly. Like majestic tall orcs and stuff. So, you know, that's how Thrall's been for a little while. So maybe he'll be the one selling that. And he'll be like, Loktar brothers, you can stand tall like I have since Wrath of the Lich King.
It's like, he's going to be the one doing it. Maybe that's his job for
chiropractor.
Just hear my call.
Yeah. It'll be a little shopping.
He's like, hey, all right, good to go. Next.
Yeah, I love that. Actually, we don't know where we're going to change that, do we? Do we go into the barbershop or something? Or I don't
barbershop, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
You can switch. But I think Thrall is busy making babies, and we're going to see him in like a couple of expansions with his children.
Son of Thrall. So, isn't that going to be so cringe? Oh, no, I'm not sure if I want like, you know, some super powerful Mary Sue little, orc baby who's gonna be the chosen one. Oh no,
that would be awesome if they're just like, oh, I'm gonna be a carpenter and that's it. That's
great.
What they do.
Yeah, I'd like that.
I have all kinds of questions about Thrall. I have questions about Jaina. I have questions about the future of some of these long-term characters, because as it stands right now, it's pretty much a fresh batch across the swath except Sylvanas. She's the only one really from day one. I mean, Bane and those guys. I can count some others as maybe earlier.
Well, like Lothramar is actually one of the more long-standing Ward ones.
Yeah,
that's how crazy it is. And he was introduced in Burning Crusade.
Yeah.
You know, you've got just such a kind of rapid succession of characters on the Horde side.
Yeah.
And it's just because, you know, people have been like, hey, they'll make a good bad guy. Look, they've already got tusks. Why don't we just kill them? It's just, I'm looking forward. I want there to be more intrigue. And I think, again, like more of that sort of Game of Thrones stuff where, like, you know, you look
I always love the dwarves.
Yeah.
You know,
I just think the dwarven race has lost something since it was ruled by Magni. I think once they had a single leader, I don't have a council now, but it felt better when there was just Magni there. Mm. It felt more personal, and he was strong and. Yeah, it was awesome. He had this dynasty with Bran, and it made sense. And I wish there was a single leader of the dwarves again.
Yeah,
that'd
be cool.
I will say, the Horde is much more multiracial than the Alliance. I mean, obviously there are lots of races in the Alliance as well, but the Beacon is the human leader, and maybe Gen, who's basically human as well. Mm-hmm. And I love what they're doing with Magni now, and his speaking. I speak for Azeroth, right?
Yeah, and he's stuff all, like that, all but, crystally and stuff. Mm-hmm. He's cool. I like him a lot right now.
But it is like the Alliance is really about the humans, whereas the Horde has lots of. They're even if you have like the orcs are the main thing, they're a lot more inclusive, one might say.
Are we skirting around the word diversity?
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I think there is more diversity.
I agree.
In the Horde.
Yeah.
Horde.
Well, there's always kind of had to be, but yes.
Well, you can have, I kind of feel like you can have some really cool sort of capitalist bad guys, less so than like, oh, I'm going to destroy the world. I'm going to manipulate everything so that I'm the richest person in the world. I think that the goblins would make an amazing bad guys in that, that they've just, they can play the world and they've, they're playing this other game in that it doesn't matter how big your castle is or how big your army is. If I have all the food or, all of those sorts of things. I think there's just room for there to be some really cool, other stuff that doesn't involve, an orc.
Do you think Prophet Velen takes a nap for the next expansion? We're done with him.
I think
for a
bit. It's tricky because his whole existence has been running from and eventually trying to defeat the Burning Legion.
Yeah.
And that's done now. So what do you do? Like you set yourself like a 5-year goal maybe when you get a job. Like he's like that's like 10,000 years or whatever he's been on the run. Like what do you do after 10,000 years?
Yeah.
Like, he must be aimless to anything.
Right.
I think I mean, it's fine. He's had his time. I wouldn't mind if, they got back into the Exodar and left for their own planet. They were like, we're going to repopulate Argus 2, it's fine. I wouldn't really. Yeah, and that's the thing about the Alliance.
But then all these space goats. What about the rest of them though? All the blue space goats aren't going to go with him because they're players. They're going to stay.
Well, yeah, obviously.
They've made Azeroth their home now.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, they're not essential to the Alliance. No one is really essential to the Alliance like the other races are in the Horde. The Horde is a patchwork. The Alliance is feels like kind of a pyramid.
Oh, we are going to
get humans at the top.
We are. I mean, I don't know, Christian, if you agree with me here, but I think we're going to get emails on that one. I don't. It seems like.
And I say this as an Alliance. I've always been Alliance. I have one Horde character, maybe, and that's it. I've always been Alliance. I love the Alliance. I'm just, you know, you can be honest about things you love, and I think that's maybe a little bit of it. It's not even necessarily a failing on the Alliance part. It's just a different kind of structure, but I think it's not untrue.
So, Christian, what's your take on who do you think started the tree fire that sets off this big fight and battle for Azeroth? Do you think Gen Greymane's a sneaky little bastard like I do, or do you think, what's your take on that whole, fresh conflict, let's take the Undercity and all that?
Yeah, I mean, Greymane does have an axe to grind, having been hemmed in for so many years, and he really does hate Sylvanas a lot, and he really pissed on her fire in this last expansion. I'm super interested to see what happens to Darnassus as well.
Yeah.
Like, how is that going to happen? It can't be just a goblin bomb, surely. Who's going to blow up Darnassus?
It's got to be more, right?
It's going to be that someone was outside smoking a cigarette, and only you can stop forest fires. You got to remember, this is a game that's developed in California. There have been a lot of forest fires. Maybe they're thinking, look, let's be a change in the world. Let's educate people about some of the proper discipline around woodland areas.
I'm 100% sure you're right. I'm sure that's exactly how this will all go down. It'll be, I don't know, Bane or somebody will turn to the camera and go, only you can prevent forest fires. That's how it'll go.
Yeah.
Very excited about it. It'll be great. As much as
I'm a Horde fan as well, I mean, my first character was a Night Elf Druid.
Mm-hmm.
And the music on Teldrassil and stuff, I listened to it in my car all the time. And it made me very sad to see it burning.
I'm curious how they're going to deal with this, because Silithus, they can change. They can, put a giant sword in it. It doesn't really matter because no one really goes there. No one has super fond memories of it. But the Teldrassil is a beautiful area, and it wasn't used. No one ever went there after they, leveled their Night Elf. But it's kind of sad if they actually destroy it. I don't know what they're going to do with it.
It can be a happy new tomorrow. And over the next decade, we can watch it slowly grow. And they'll put some magical water on it, and it'll grow really fast. So they haven't got to do too many in between stages. That being said, I went back to Mists of Pandaria, and the Vale of Eternal Blossom is still a festering shithole. They ended with this lovely, there is hope. Look, sapling springs and stuff like that. It's not changed at all. So I hope that they show some evolution in the world. And this is a great first step. Mm-hmm. If Undercity gets reclaimed by the Alliance, mm-hmm. and they then rebuild Lordaeron above it, and that becomes a new city or a new faction hub or something, how cool is that?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's pretty cool, but what do you do with your undead? Where are you taking them?
That's the thing. So then they go and build their own place. Mm. And it's actual proper undead architecture, not just, sewers.
Yeah.
Or maybe they take Teldrassil.
Maybe they swapsies.
Yeah.
Yeah, the undead like a burnt husk of a tree. It looks like a spooky Tim Burton film. And they're like, this is way more aesthetic.
It's not a bad theory. I could see that working. But and I could see her standing on the branch of a burned out tree, looking down on her people all hustling around down there trying to make a tree
Played
work.
By Johnny Depp. I love it.
Yeah. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Yes. Sylvanas played by Johnny Depp. Perfect casting. So here's another question I had for you. This is a little bit outside of WoW, but Blizzard is, even since the last time we talked, is a very different company. Their focuses and their outreach and the stuff that they've got going on is so much more broad than just World of Warcraft anymore. And I remember in our last interview, we talked very specifically about you were like, I don't care about any of that other shit. F Heroes, F Overwatch, F all the, I don't care. It's all WoW.
This doesn't
all
sound like me.
Why have you insinuated he swore as much as that? That's disgraceful.
I never
my swear. Gosh.
Yeah, he's never. He's
terribly sorry for Scott. Oh.
Yeah, I really misconstrued this. But did you, do you, I mean, it's even more so now. So where's your head at with that? And do you still feel sort of the same? Do you just sort of wish it was, you know, or did you just
don't
care?
I don't have time for any other shit. I just play Warcraft. I hate all the rest of it. No, I don't.
All right.
I like Overwatch.
Yeah.
It gives me a migraine.
Yeah.
Because I can't get into it. I haven't had the time. I have time for one game. I have a PS4. I've got the new Xbox. I haven't even unboxed my new Xbox yet.
Wow.
I just play WoW.
Yeah. I think that's great. There's something pure about that. There are days where I wish that's all I played, because I get too wound up in all the other stuff and not that it distracts me, but it does kind of distract me. It keeps me, you know, it doesn't have me in WoW as much as it used to, but you can understand why they were where they're at, right? Like, this is a company that has to grow with the times.
They've really expanded. I don't want to say I'm proud of them, because I think that's immensely patronizing, but I am proud of them as a company. They've really expanded well. They really know what gamers want, and they continue to grow and progress, and yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm proud of me for my putting my faith and love into that company, because they haven't let me down.
Yeah.
And that shows I've got good taste.
Yeah.
You know, I like that.
Yeah.
You know, because we could have easily been screwed over with any other game developer out there who would have had such a huge success as WoW, and then would have just, you know, just kept screwing us from there.
Oh, but yeah.
You guys go to BlizzCon this year?
Yeah, yeah.
These two did, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Turf's a new baby, but yeah, we were there, and I was only sad that you weren't performing again. I was really looking forward to that. It was fun in 2015.
Well, I was supposed to, and then I wasn't supposed to, and then at the end, I was going to be able to, but then all the schedules weren't able to line up.
That's too bad. Now we're looking forward to that, because we really
this
enjoyed
year.
That. In
we'll 2016. All go this year. It'd be good.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I hope we did get a chance. I mean, that was incredible.
It was an amazing gig.
Yeah.
It was good. It really was. And do you know what really got me about it? Because I know the people there aren't necessarily at heart dance music fans, but they really got into the atmosphere and everything. And it meant a lot to me. It felt like I was performing in front of my people.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they really sort of embraced something a bit different. And I was really proud of them.
Yeah,
I'm proud of myself as well.
I was going to ask you about that, because I think there is an assumption that, oh, they're all metalheads, or they're all, you know, they're all whatever. But personally, I came to it as an EDM fan and went, sweet, I can't believe he's here performing. And I kept thinking I might be able to walk past the stage and you'd be out there working on something and we'd be able to at least say hi or something. But it never happened. But the performance.
I made sure it didn't happen.
Yeah, I know. It seemed like a coordinated effort.
I was going like, I know that guy. And they're like, no, I've got your picture here. You're not allowed. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, well, fine. I'm going to dance over here.
Yeah.
And I had a good time still.
But I think there is a lot of people at BlizzCon who are totally down with that that vibe. So I think you killed it. And it would be great to have you back. That'd be awesome. In terms of, you were there that year, 2016.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, like I said, I was dancing in the crowd.
I didn't even know that. If I didn't know you guys were there, if I'd known you were there, I would have sorted you out.
Yeah,
honest.
It was super fun.
No, it's good. It's me and Sips there, and Sips, as a fellow dad, was just like upset with my shapes. But I was like, no, this is I'm not going to dance any differently because there's other people here. I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah. Well, so that's good news. I was going
to
ask if you think you might perform there again. It sounds like maybe that's possible.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah.
I
know it depends on Blizzard and schedules and everything else, but
yeah,
let's cross fingers.
Yeah, I always try to make time for always prioritize.
Can we record samples for you to put in as drops into one of your kind of really like?
Let me stop you right there. No.
I would love to it. I think we should do it. I'm just going to send you loads of samples of me just saying, like, you know, get off the bus or something like that. And everyone's like, yeah, I'm going to work this into a track. It'd
yeah,
be good.
Great idea.
Do you really think if after 7 or 8 years, if I haven't sampled myself saying Hodor, I'm really going to take your samples?
Yeah, good point. That's a really good point. Here we
I assume there was legal issues.
No. Here we have a respected, much sought after DJ who could totally go Hodor if he wanted, and he's resisted doing it. I think that's an honorable thing. I'm impressed that you've never done that and inserted it into your music. Because that must be hard, man. That's what you're known for. People think so Hodor.
On Bigger, who says Bigger? Like, was that you? Or is that just you? Did you get loads of different
really
people to say?
Really funny story behind this. Actually, no. It's actually, right. It was taken from a porn movie. And it was a woman going, "Oh, it's getting bigger." And I kind of sang over it. So we merged the two voices.
I have never been happier than Terpster.
I worked out to that song.
Yeah.
I feel so wrong.
I love that you asked that question.
That's so right.
That's amazing that you asked that question. Oh, that's brilliant. Fantastic.
It explains all the erections I get. That's fine. Okay.
Look, all I'm saying is I did a voice sample for Knife Party and they used it. I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying, you know, if you want to be like Knife Party.
So what Scott said is he's taken. So if you're looking for a fresh new voice, you know.
Okay.
All right. So now we have a deal. All right. So I had a couple more questions before we go that I just wanted to throw out there.
Had I voiced a character in the game the last time I spoke to you?
Oh, no,
you hadn't. Yeah, because you did that, didn't you? You went and visited.
Yeah, I went and did the voice for God, I can't remember his name now. Overseer Gore in the shitty dungeon no one goes to.
which one?
Black Bottom Deeps.
Oh no way! I didn't know this. Yeah. I didn't know this.
And the orc who shouts things at you.
Really?
Yeah.
I gotta go find clips and stuff. That's awesome. I had no idea. I didn't know you were doing any of that.
The minute you hear the voice, you'd be like, "Oh, that's Christian."
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I didn't realize you'd done that. Was that you just did? Did you go out special for that, or you just happened to be there? And they're like, "Hey, come here and record this."
I was in a studio in London. The property hired me. Like, and we did it in a studio in London, and yeah, I had the lovely Andrea Toyas on the...
Wow.
Giving me directions and making me scream like a biatch.
Yeah. No, they'll put you through the works there when you do that. Well, that's awesome. So can you tell us anything about Robin Hood, The Rebellion? Because it sounds awesome. And Brian Blessed's in it, I freaking love that guy.
Yeah. Brad's awesome. Yeah,
so, I mean, are you?
Get to meet him. I did one day filming on it, and maybe you shouldn't say that.
You, with excitement, I just melted as I saw Brian Blessed. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Okay. That's okay. Yeah.
I will say that it's probably, if you look under cameo in the dictionary, that's probably what you'll see. You'll see my scene.
All right.
Understand what cameo means.
I'm all excited to see this regardless. I don't care what happens.
It's going to be fun. It's a really nice team. It's a nice production.
Are you getting a lot more stuff these days? Like, are people coming to you all the time? Like, I know you got so much passion for your music. I assume it's a conflict sometimes where you're like, oh, I'd really like to do this part.
But I'm just about to start a new TV show, actually, in Utah, of all places.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Well, that means we can hang out. We got to get together finally, because it's dumb if we don't. But yeah, so what's that about? Can you tell us much?
Yeah, it's just been announced, actually. It's NBC Universal show. It's called The Outpost. Mm. And it's a sci-fi fantasy, which is obviously my genre. I'm really excited to start it. It's basically, I can't say too much about it because I don't know.
Yeah. Well, no, this is great. Here it is, The Outpost. It says you are somebody named
Munt.
Yeah,
I think I'm pronouncing that correct.
Yeah.
I think people think I play that character. Sometimes I walk past people and I hear them say that.
Yeah,
they say that as I walk by. So maybe they think I'm. It's really interesting.
What part of the state are you filming in? Is it like southern Utah, like desert stuff, or what's the plan?
No, it'll be probably around Provo.
Oh my gosh, we're totally going to lunch one day. Then that's going to happen.
Yeah, I can't believe I've been in Provo so many times, and I can't believe. I mean, I've been there for weeks on end. I can't believe I haven't seen you.
Well, I mean, there are a few of us here, but yes, I just need to get down there. So next time you're here, just ping me, and we'll take the most awkward pictures ever, and it'll be great. Looking forward to it.
I'll probably make a local newspaper. It always does.
Yeah. Why not? I mean,
local man meets giant. It's like, oh, there you go. Have you ever been asked to go on like the grand tour? You know, as a star in Celebrity Face Off.
I would love to go on the grand tour or anything car related. I'm a big car fan. Mm. But no, I have not been.
For a guy who's forced to fly everywhere, that must be a bummer. Being such a car guy and you can't really drive. I mean, actually, you can drive when you get places, but you know,
not really.
Is it not a struggle because you are so tall? Like, what cars do you drive? What do you have?
I've got a Range Rover. I've got a Tesla.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah.
Have you got the Tesla or the Model X?
Got the X.
Okay, yeah, makes sense.
It's my favorite thing on the planet. Mm.
It's a big toy though, isn't it? It's not really a car.
It's not really a car. It feels like a piece of tech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You get like an upgrade and it suddenly like my car's better today because it got a firmware update. Mm-hmm. Look, now the windscreen wipers go on by themselves. It's like, what? That's crazy.
Yeah. I absolutely love that. It feels like you get a present every month or something. It gets slightly better.
Yeah.
But I'm really restricted in what cars I can drive.
I think that's the toughest thing that I didn't really appreciate. When I met you at the cinema, obviously cinema seats aren't made for, you know, a man of your stature.
My knees are usually jammed around the person in front of me's ears, which is sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes not. But
it depends on the movie, doesn't it? Bigger. Yeah.
I don't get annoyed about it. I'll just say, fuck this, I'll sit on the steps.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
So like what do we take for granted that's really hard for you to do?
Not hitting your head on door frames. Clambering in and out of taxis. All sorts of things like that. But you know what, man? It's worth the trade-off. I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah.
But do you think that's part of the reason why you like Warcraft in a way, and that you're just, you know, you're not someone who's exceptionally tall or anything else? You know, you can be the character and, you know, explore the world freely.
Conversely, in my real life, I'm an actor who's extremely visible. I might have chose that career if that was what I really wanted. I do play a goblin.
Okay.
I always play goblins.
Oh, that's so funny. I always play really buff. I always play very buff, muscular characters. So, and for the same reason, I'm kind of a weenie. I'm the opposite, I guess, is what I'm saying. And so that's interesting. I mean, that's often what we do in role-playing games is pick a role that's not us, right? So
I play a very plain human that usually I try to make look like me as much as possible. I don't know what that says
so
about
fucking
me.
Alliance. That's so alliance.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
So French as well.
Exactly. Oh my god.
Yeah.
You know what? I think I am pretty good. I will play me.
And then I call the character Patrick. So Jaina is like, "Hello, Patrick, brave hero." And I'm like, "Yes, obviously."
I find this story very believable.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, very believable.
What class are you going to be? I want to work in a call center.
Yeah.
So where is the podcaster button for the class? Because I feel like my abilities would be really useful in that world.
Well, surely
that would be like a secondary profession.
Sure.
You know, it's not big enough probably, to be a main profession.
Yeah, that's, trust me, you got to diversify. I can tell you that for sure. But that actually reminds me of something, Christian. Before we go, you were doing some podcast stuff a while back, but then things got busy. Any interest in getting back to that world?
Well, I mean, I do like a monthly mix, but I wouldn't really call it a podcast. It's just me babbling over a mix that I've made. Mm-hmm. It's not really a podcast in the true sense of the word. Yeah. But no, I just don't have time. I don't want to do things. I don't want to take on new things that I feel bad about because I don't like letting my co-host down and stuff. And you know, it's tough, man. It's to put a good show together. It takes time and dedication, as you'll probably find out someday. And
oh my gosh. Yeah, no, I remember I really enjoyed him when you were making him, and then I thought, he's too busy for this. And that's a pretty good philosophy, actually. Don't pick up stuff you're going to feel bad about missing unless you can do it, you know?
Okay. Jeez. Thank you.
I don't like having to regret shit, so I just don't do it.
Oh my gosh. Well, having you here is a pleasure, dude. We love it. We got to make sure go too long. We can't go another 6 years because there's too many expansions to talk about, so we'll make sure to check in here and there. Is there anything going on right now, any tour dates, anything you want to let people know about before we go?
Well, you know what? The start of the year is always quite quiet for the entertainment industry, so I always take my holidays around now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, the rest of the year is pretty full. That TV show starts. I have a movie coming out called The Appearance. It should be out in the next few months. It's a horror movie about witchcraft. Ooh. I'm not the witch. And yeah, basically a lot of more of the same, producing and traveling and meeting people and going to conventions and doing probably silly advertisement campaigns for random companies like KFC.
Yeah. Oh, that was brilliant. Yeah. I like that. Yeah, did you get a load of free chicken?
Do you know what? If you're listening to this, KFC, you promised me a chicken checkbook, whatever the fuck that is, but I didn't get it.
Sounds like the way worse Nando's Black Card. It's like, oh, yeah, we'll give you a chicken checkbook. It's 20 free chicken meals across, you know, until you use them up.
Hey, I take that.
I do have a Dunkin' Donuts Black Card, but there are no friggin' Dunkin' Donuts in the UK.
What?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, this is so cool. Is it? How did you get that? Did they approach you? Did you approach them?
Do you really think I went and said, can I have free donuts?
I would have. I don't think I wouldn't. Yeah, I think that's a perfectly acceptable thing to do.
I did some advertising for them when I was in New York just before Christmas.
So. Oh, that's hilarious, though, that they would do
it. They also know I don't live in the States, and I'm never going to use the card because I don't live in America.
Yeah, that's how they get it. Like,
that guy's enormous. He's going to eat the whole supply for them.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you doing? Are you mad? Don't worry. He's not from around here. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, don't.
Just see where I get the Provo. Dunkin' Donuts all around, guys.
Yeah, there's Dunkin' Donuts all up and down Provo. I was going to say, you'd be able to use that the hell out of that.
Meet me at Dunkin' Donuts every time it's at a Dunkin' Donut. Don't worry. Donuts are on me.
I love this idea. Well,
when are you next dropping a new track?
Yeah.
After Bigger, I produced a follow-up track, which I'm so excited about. It really is next level. I'm just trying to finish it off with the right vocal.
I'm here. I'm ready. Don't worry. You tell me what you want, I'll say it.
Awkward.
We can use the original. Yeah. That's good.
And if you're all sitting there thinking to yourselves,
you need pornographic noises.
Yeah, you could totally make.
I did. Yeah, that was one of my first jobs in animation.
Sure,
I did as a pornographic lady.
Yeah, you did a great job too, and that we'd never forget the work you did. All of Christian's music, by the way, is up on Apple Music, Spotify, like everywhere. If you guys want to,
go
check it out. You should be listening to it. It's fantastic stuff. If you're into that sort of EDM electronica world at all, there's some hot beats.
It's house music. It's not fucking EDM.
Listen, I like deep house a lot. Like, deep house as a category is one of my favorite
things. Americans,
yeah,
the Americans go from Skrillex to deep house, and you think there's nothing in between? It's like there's a whole fucking progression of like 8 different types of house music.
There is. That's like true.
Spectrum.
Hey, I could have said techno. I could have just said.
Speaking of Spectrum, my new show is called Spectrum.
Yeah. I could have said techno and left it at that, and then I'd have been in real trouble. So I get it.
That's Germany.
Yeah. That's take that, Germany. Now we'll get more emails. But we hope you have a fantastic one. Don't forget to follow Christian on Twitter. He is at Christian Nairn. It's that simple. Yeah. His whole name. The K and an N there. Well, thanks for being with us, man. We really appreciate it. It was awesome.
Likewise, man. Thanks for having me. Always enjoy chatting with you guys.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again for sure. Terpster and Patrick, anything you guys want to say before we go?
Nope. No, thanks.
You're good. Yeah, I think it was good, too. Patrick, have a baby. Hurry up and have a baby.
Yes, I will get on that. Like,
congratulations,
we actually did about 9 months ago. So any moment.
Any second now, it's happening. Thank you all for listening. That's going
to
do it
I'm
for us.
I'll see you.
Bye.
If that's it. Where's the music? Okay, bye, everybody.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
All I want to do is study magic.